Welcome to Connectivity episode 220. I'm your host, Carmine Red, and I'm joined by Zachary Miller.
Hello, hello.
And from a completely different hemisphere, Andrew Brown.
We're ready to go.
And we are ready to go. We are talking this episode about Shantae, Half Genie Hero came out a couple months ago, and we're basically all fans of the Shantae series, so it's really exciting to talk about it. Zach, why don't you let's just go around real quick. Let's give an elevator pitch of why we wanted to have a connectivity episode about Shantae.
Well, we haven't had a Shantae connectivity episode yet, but this is a fertile ground for discussion. It's a short but very memorable series. Combines a little bit of Metroidvania with just good old platforming and colorful cast of characters, good writing. So it's a great series.
And how about you, Andrew? What's your take?
Okay, it's a series that involves characters that are very relatable. Everything is colorful. Everything is playful and fun. Everything's a little bit risque. It's a series that combines the best elements of, say, Metroid and, as you said, Zach, Castlevania, Mega Man. And it's got a killer soundtrack. It's got everything that I look for in a game.
Okay, we got some real fans here. And I just want to say, when I was playing Half Genie Hero, it's just fun. It's just simple. It's just, as a game, it's good, simple fun. It somehow feels like a throwback to the 90s when I could play a game and not have to, you know, really, really worry about all these other things or getting too complex. But I have to say, just for you listeners out there, another reason I wanted to have an episode for this is I actually am in possession of a couple Shantae Half Genie Hero Wii U download codes that I need to get rid of.
Nice.
I've got all from the Kickstarter. Actually, I went a little crazy on that. I have two codes for the North America region and two codes for the EU region, and they could be yours. So if you're listening and you want one of those codes, shoot an email to contest@nintendoworldreport.com and name 5 characters from the Shantae games. And also let us know which region you are. If there's more entries, then we will use a randomizer to choose the winners. And with that out of the way, so let's talk about like each of us histories with like Shantae. Like, was this the first game you played, Andrew, or have you played the ones before?
I've played the entire series so far. In fact,
starting from Game Boy Color?
Starting from the Game Boy Color game, but this was around the era of the late original DS. I actually bought my 3DS from the States just so that I could get Risky's Revenge on the DSiWare eShop. Because for the longest time, I still don't think it's even available in the Australian region on the original DSi version of Risky's Revenge.
Wow.
So yeah, they've done the remake. That's available on, I believe, on Wii U. There, the remastered,
it's on Wii U,
the Steam version.
PS4, it's on everything, yeah.
Yeah, but at the time, this was a series that I just started to familiarize myself with. I played the Game Boy Color game on an emulator back in, probably would have been 6-7 years ago. And I fell in love instantly with the characters. I remember jumping straight onto NWR and looking up Zach's original review. And I agree with every bit of praise that this series has been given.
Carmine, you're a newcomer to this series, aren't you?
Well, I have not gotten a chance to play the Game Boy Color version. I started on the DSi.
So
maybe that's what, 3 games back? It's just fun, you know? I mean, when you sit there, there's plenty to think about, and then there's plenty to, like, really enjoy the art for, but it's just really visually, it's got bright colors. I wouldn't call it a platformer, definitely. It's more of an action game.
Yeah.
I guess you can call it, you can throw out words like Metroidvania, but I don't think about that when I play. You know, it's an action game. I'm running around. I'm beating levels.
I think it's actually gotten a little more Metroidvania as the series has progressed. In the beginning, it wasn't nearly as much.
Yeah, but I think it's one of those games that I play and I don't need to put a label on it. I'm having fun.
Yeah. I like the idea that you invoke that it's kind of one of those 90s mascot platformers. That's a really good comparison, and that's kind of a lost art that we don't have anymore.
Yeah, and I think that's probably, I mean, that is a huge strength of this game. I think all three of us are fans of its art style, you know?
Characters.
Absolutely.
Like, just the way the games are visually imagined.
I mean, even the Game Boy Color game looks so much better than your average Game Boy Color game. They're really pushing the envelope on what that system could do.
Yeah. What do you think is it about the art style? I think it definitely can be a little risque if you stop and you think about it. You're like, hey, she's running around, you know, in a belly dancing outfit.
Right.
But somehow it doesn't feel risque. It's like when you it isn't a big deal.
This is just kind of an innocent whimsicalness about it, and none of the cheesecake elements are super blatant. It's always kind of wink, wink, nod, nod. At the audience, mostly through the writing than anything else. Although I think it reached a height in Pirate's Curse, a little more overt in Pirate's Curse, but it's never kind of in your face. It's very much secondary to what you've been saying. It's colorful and lively, and everything's got a rhythm to it, and it's just a real pretty game and with solid gameplay.
Yeah, I was reading on some of the inspirations for this character, and it's like obviously there's I Dream of Jeannie, right smack dab in the middle, but like there's Ranma 1/2 has been a major inspiration for the series, you know, and let's see what some of this other stuff.
You can even tell with the hairstyles, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like for the game series, they've Matt Bozon, who was one of the creators of the character, stated Castlevania, Aladdin, Mega Man, you know, Hayao Miyazaki films.
Yeah.
Nadia, Secret of Blue Water. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of great influences here. I think also the animation is just nice and clean, and it's evolved too, like with Half Genie Hero, right? Like technically the series has moved forward a little bit.
I think that's what one of the major draws of the original game was on the Game Boy Color, bringing back to the art style on a Game Boy Color game itself. The fluidity of the dance moves and the animations and just the sprite movements is something WayForward does and has done with other Game Boy Color games. And throughout the length of their series, that other developers don't seem to be able to capture. You'd never see Mario moving with that much
rhythm.
Yeah, rhythm is the right word, because like it's the soundtrack's good, and then it's really just, I don't know, like a fun, bouncy world to be in.
And the soundtrack is always amazing. Jake Kaufman always does a good job, but I think he really sinks his heart into the Shantae games. He does wonderful work on those.
Yeah, absolutely. And all of his soundtracks are on his Bandcamp. You can go buy them right now. Do it.
Ooh. Oh my god. Half Genie Hero. Is that the first time they've had, like, voiced music for it?
Voice acting?
Not voice acting.
More than voice acting, but like the full
lyrics
voice
and the
theme song.
A theme song. Yeah, this is the first time, yeah.
That first level where it like hit, I was not expecting that, and I was like, this is awesome. And I looked it up on YouTube later, and now I'm going to go to the Bandcamp. Thank you, Andrew.
That was one of the first things that they released to backers was an MP3 of that song.
Yeah, usually I kickstart something, they take my money, and then I completely forget about it until it comes out.
I think lyrics in their songs are only a recent thing for Way Forward. They did have it in the ending theme of Mighty Switch Force 2, I believe.
So good.
And it
I
was,
love that song.
It's just
so dumb.
But yeah, this is the first time they've implemented something like that in Jantae, and it works well. I'm hoping the future of the series does include something like this in moving forward. I mean, the series has always heavily been something revolving around music, and yeah, just to see them take things into a more musical direction in the series itself would be amazing.
It would be cool if future games, like if that became the theme song, and future games had kind of like an animated intro like you'd see in a cartoon, because I think that's the way the series is headed.
Again,
I think that speaks to like how good their art and, you know, the visual design is, and how well the characters of the games come out, because, you know, we've had people say like maybe we should add these characters into Smash Brothers.
Yeah,
you know, they're such strong, iconic characters, and maybe the Shantae games are not, you know, as widely well known, but the people who know them, you know, sort of put them up there high enough that they can say, "I want to play this character in other games now."
Yeah,
absolutely,
like Runbo.
I think you mentioned, you guys mentioned Mighty Switch Force. I think it's We should talk a little bit about Way Forward and like their history, because Shantae is definitely like one of their earlier projects, indie game projects from like the late 90s, and then they're still around now, and they've actually had a little bit of a long history as indie developers.
Yeah, they've been around at least 20 years.
Yeah.
I don't know what their first game was, but I know the first game that they got a lot of praise for was was it Wendy the Good Witch on Game Boy Color?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was it had this weird mechanic where everything was moving upside down, or like you could flip the gravity in the game. Probably one of the inspirations to their what was it? Mighty Flip Champs was their first.
Oh well, yeah.
Part of the game. But yeah, in Wendy Witch Way or whatever it was called, you could flip the gravity upside down and run around on the ceilings. And the levels revolved around puzzles that involved moving upwards or downwards and falling in different directions.
Nice. Sounds like VVVVVV.
Yeah, a lot like that.
I've always wanted to play that game. I wish they put it up on the eShop. They put that Extreme Sports game up, and I don't love that game, but it's fun enough. It's a little ADD for me.
And I also like Well, I come to their history a little late, but like, I actually bought Ping Pals at the DS launch. And that's sort of like what indie devs do, you know?
Oh my gosh, Ping Pals.
They do a lot of, hey, I had lots of fun with that.
No, I just forgot it existed.
DS launch, man, it was a great time to be alive. but as indie devs, you take projects that come from other companies, so they did Ping Pals. Later on, they did they do the Contra on DS?
Contra 4,
yes.
Yeah, they did.
Contra 4 on DS, they did Duck, and then later on, they did DuckTales, the remastered DuckTales.
Yeah, that Daffy Duck, that minigame Daffy Duck game on DS that was really good, very imaginative. And they also did that Aliens game. What was that called? Infestation on DS? That was really fun too.
So actually, yeah, it's actually really great to see an indie company, because you realize, oh, they've developed a lot of their own tech, and that's allowed them to get a lot of stuff. They're really a technology company, I think. It feels that way, because when you were playing Half Genie Hero, feel like it had a lot of like probably learnings from DuckTales Remastered?
It's clear they used the same engine that they built up on DuckTales.
Yeah, I think it's hard to compare those two because, I mean, they are the same engine, but I feel like they're such different games. The goals are different. I kind of hate to say it, but DuckTales is almost, I mean, maybe it's just because I really love that game, but I almost like DuckTales, from an objective standpoint more than Half Genie Hero. From a gameplay perspective, maybe. But yeah, you can definitely tell. I mean, they share, elements and, I love DuckTales. Sorry.
Well, the reason I love both games. I just DuckTales, I feel it was, an earlier version of the engine. I feel like Half Genie Hero is so smooth.
Yeah, the animation is definitely better. All the sprite work is much better in, Shantae.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a much later attempt at it. But also, I just like it as a story because, you know, as an indie dev, you have to be versatile and you have to be able to support these systems for cheap. And especially if you're going to make your own game, you sort of need the tech if you're not going to get an engine out there. And I guess there's not that. There really aren't that many, like, available commercial engines you can license that would be that are... would be hit like the Nintendo DS.
Right. You know?
Everything's aimed towards higher end platforms. And so I think that's why a lot of indie devs have been able to or smaller dev companies have been able to really able to flourish in the DS era, because that was a point where if you had the tech, you could actually go out there and get work.
Yeah.
And it's great to hear that looking at Shantae Half Genie Hero, they could hit so many platforms with it. I mean, they're still an independent game studio.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
They got this on all the major platforms.
Yes, even Vita, which I also bought it for. I have a problem. I was surprised to learn that Risky's Revenge is a entirely different engine than Pirate's Curse, because they share so much sprite work. So I was really surprised to learn they're different, completely different engines.
Huh, that's neat.
Yeah.
I was thinking, let's actually take a moment here, and I don't know if, how would you describe this game? I mean, we've talked about it for 18 minutes, but, and we've definitely talked about we've compared it, but it's, there aren't a lot of games like this anymore, so how would you describe it? Is it just take 90s action game and that would be the closest analog, or is DuckTales the closest modern analog to what it is now?
Well,
are there many 2D platformers that we could compare it to?
To explore that, it's more like a study of the character Shantae herself. I mean, she's a belly dancing genie who uses her hair like a whip, for those who haven't played the series. So it's very much a sense of touching an enemy will hurt you. You can't jump on enemies like in other platforming games. You have to physically attack them. But there's also the element of the music and the rhythm behind it. And something that's been a standing point for most of the series up until now is the fact that Shantae does various dance moves that transform her into various different animals that would then give her advantages. They'd be able to fly or smash through a wall or navigate to previously inaccessible areas, very much like a Metroid game.
Or if you owned a Xbox 360 at launch, Cameo.
Yeah. Like a 2D version of Cameo.
Right. Just better.
I've never played Cameo.
One of the last good rare games.
It's okay.
Isn't it?
Huh?
One of the last good rare games.
Yeah, that's true. It's on the Rare Replay Collection, which I just haven't touched it. Found on an Xbox One.
But yes, moving forward with the series there, it's very much a series that, even though each of the games are standalone, there is an overlying, a winking, as you said, to the audience there, that some story elements carry over from previous games. There are characters that are introduced in earlier games that are brought back into later iterations of the series. Half Genie Hero itself is the fourth game in the series, the first being on Game Boy Color, which was just Shantae. Then there was Risky's Revenge, that was, as I mentioned earlier, a DSi download game that was halted or changed in development a numerous number of times there. It was originally going to be a part of a trilogy that had to be then scaled back to one game. And then Half Genie Hero, what's the third
Pirate's
game?
Curse?
The Pirate's Curse, yeah. The Pirate's Curse was essentially the end of the story for the original trilogy of games there. It wrapped up all the loose ends and tied up a whole lot of the story plot points and that were ongoing for the first two games in the series. And then moving forward into Half Genie Hero, the game is essentially a soft reboot. It does have... There's this knowing of the characters that you come across people and you're like, oh, I remember them, and the cast remember them, and they interact as if they were in the other games together. But at the same time, it sort of like reboots the storyline and introduces elements from the original game all over again.
Yep. Risky's back to being evil.
Risky's back to being evil. Possible story spoilers for those who haven't played Pirate's Curse. There was also the fact that Shantae is back to doing her transforming, which wasn't an element in Pirate's Curse there. She had instead a whole lot of pirate gear that she would use as navigational tools to get around the game, which interestingly is actually going to be reintroduced into Half Genie Hero when the Risky mode drops.
Right.
There's been artwork and sprite samples of Risky showing, like, the floating hat and the dashing with the sword, and I'm super excited for when that lands to be able to replay the game in, like, essentially Pirate's Curse mode.
I wonder if it's going to be more like, you know how when Shovel Knight introduces a new character, they kind of remake the maps to take advantage of the, you know, Plague Knight or...
Yeah.
Spectre Knight. I wonder if they'll do something similar for this.
It's possible that you'll go through the game in a different order, play the release in a different way.
True.
I don't know if you guys saw the most recent update on their Kickstarter page. They are going ahead with the additional hero modes as well, so there's eventually going to be a playable Roddy Tops and Sky and Bolo, which is going to be great.
Yes.
Playable Bolo, man.
He Bolo's finally needed gets something to do on. For four games now.
It's going to be great. So Sky being the character who has all the birds. And
yeah, she like trains warbirds.
Right.
Roddy Tops being the zombie friend who every once in a while they make a reference to that she might eat someone.
And then Bolo's just kind of her buddy.
Bolo's always like that hapless character in the beginning.
Who yes.
Is really helpful for getting you introduced to the world.
True, true.
So let's actually talk about Shantae Half Genie Hero, because I think you mentioned that they're going to bring all these other characters and modes to it. Zach, you reviewed it, right?
I did not review it because I kickstarted it, so I was barred from reviewing it, but I did write a kind of a fanboy post-mortem several weeks after it came out. You reviewed it, didn't you?
I also kickstarted it, so...
Yeah, oh, okay.
As did I.
Well, you guys, I think,
so
Carmine, you must have kickstarted it at a much lower level than me, and I know Andrew kickstarted it at a much higher level than me.
Yeah. I have artwork in the game, everyone. Go check it out.
He does.
It's
maybe the best art in that. I'm not even just saying that. That might be real. He has the best art in that, in the fan stuff.
Aw, shucks.
I misspent my Kickstarter dollars. So none of us reviewed it, but it's I think I recall you saying, Zach, that you were a little disappointed that it was not a connected world.
I was disappointed that the connected world would have been nice, but I liked how they did it in Pirate's Curse. I guess I was disappointed that so many of her powers felt really underutilized. Especially like the spider power. You use the spider power maybe one time to get.
Come on. There's like six places it comes in handy.
Oh, there's, you know, five of those places that it comes in handy, but can be easily done with other powers too.
Yeah, if you've like broken the chain a little bit and gotten some of the later powers, it does make some of the earlier ones a little redundant. But
right.
I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, I can
agree with that. But then again, I mean, when you have the game is only so long, and when you have as much as they have, like there's just a ridiculous number of forms you can transform into, right?
Yeah.
Like 12 different dances, like 10 forms you can take.
There are something 8, like 9. That. There are 10 animal forms. And 4 spells that kind of do other things, but you can switch 2 of those spells for 2 animal forms that are useless but funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, when I got, like, some are going to be less useful than others. And I feel like that's, and personally, I feel like Zelda has, like, the same problem. Like, I can't really think of, aside from dedicated spinner sections in Twilight Princess, I feel like, personally, I think that was underused. So I think that's just I don't know, I'm going to defend it and say that that's just a matter of them not having enough game to find all these things for. Like, could you imagine?
Oh, that's true. No, that's absolutely true, yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But I actually also felt like, yeah, it was a little strange when they... Because Half Genie Hero, it's actually broken up into levels. And then you can revisit the levels easily. So it still feels like a Metroidvania in the way that you revisit past levels in, I guess, Mega Man.
Oh, yeah.
You go back to levels in Mega Man when you have new powers and you say, oh, I know where I can go in this level now to use this and get that. But I think it worked. I do still sort of miss what you call it, a giant connected world, but it was actually, I felt like it was actually much easier to jump around in this one.
Yes, it absolutely
I didn't
was.
Have
That's
to, like,
true.
Always walk out of town and navigate past those areas. Well, I mean, there's always warps, but...
Well, it's
I
certainly...
I feel like I was doing less walking.
Yeah, you did do less walking. You know, one of the things I don't like about the first two games is you do a lot of walking. Because it's just a big horizontal world. So I was happy that they broke it up in Pirate's Curse, and I'm happy that they broke it up in Half Genie Hero. You're right. In Half Genie Hero, it's so easy to move around because you can use the whistle when you got what you want, and whatever level, you can just leave and go to another level and do your thing. And
Can you even whistle out of the sliding portions?
I think you can.
I just remember being so frustrated
the first one,
with
anyway.
Those portions.
Yeah, no, they're not good.
That was the time when I, on my first playing the game, I played up until that section. I died a bunch of times because I didn't understand how to use my items yet. Like, I didn't understand what oranges were. I was like, it had been that long.
Yeah.
So I was just dying a lot, and I'm like, I'm putting this down and walking away. And I couldn't figure out how to use the whistle to get out. So I think I had the tools to beat that level just at the moment. None of it was registering for me.
Well, let me tell you, here's a pro tip for you. When you're trying to beat the game, and you're going down that final slide, which I hated so much until I found this trick. If you have the magical tiara, which gives you infinite magic, you can just jump up in the air and then use the flamethrower and hold the button down, and you'll just float over everything. And that's how cheaters do speedruns.
Wow.
Wow.
In fact, okay. You kind of have to do that. You almost have to do that for if you're playing it on the PS4 or the Vita. There's a trophy that you avoid any damage in that final slide. And in fact, if you fail, you actually have to go back and beat Risky again, because it's all considered one section. So, yeah, use that flamethrower thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Handy. I trophied that. I platinumed that game.
Wow. I'm kind of not surprised.
It's super easy to do, though. Like, I got 43 of the 44 trophies on my first run, and the last trophy was just beat it in 2 hours.
I still don't have the artwork for completing everything, like, 100% within 3 hours or something.
Oh, really? You can do pirate mode and get everything. Not pirate mode, you know what I mean?
The like, additional story mode. Or like
yeah, yeah.
Oh, the new game plus.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I've still got some work to do on the game. I've got everything. I've unlocked everything, and I've got the rewards for that, just not under the lowest time.
That's gotcha. All.
Now, would you? I wouldn't call this a hard game, would you?
No, not.
I mean, aside from like maybe a couple points where it's like a difficulty spike.
More frustrating than hard, maybe.
Yeah. The last two bosses.
More frustrating than difficult.
Hmm. Yeah, if you're trying to get through the game just based on platforming skill and not trying to use your items, it would seem apparent that there's a bit of a difficulty spike. But when you realize that they are trying to encourage you to use the stuff that you're collecting and collect the gems to buy the items and everything like that, it seems a whole lot more fair.
Yeah, in fact, it's when you can reduce the damage you're taking, and if you're just finding all the hard pieces, it feels like a Zelda game where it's like, oh, the better you get, the easier the game gets.
Almost. Yeah.
Yes. In fact, the Game Boy Color Shantae game, I don't know if you felt this way too, Andrew, but it almost has the same difficulty curve that Kid Icarus does, where it's super friggin' hard at the beginning, but the more you get, it by the end of the game, it's the easiest game you've ever played.
Yes, some of the bosses, particularly fighting against Risky at the end of the game, are
true.
Significantly harder than other boss fights and other battles that you've had in the game. But by that point, you've got that many items that it really doesn't matter. It's all about learning the. It's very Mega Man. It's learning the visual cues and being prepared for whatever direction that they move in. Yeah.
Yeah, that Risky fight sucks because she's only vulnerable for one frame of animation.
Well, let me just say this in case any listener is confused. I suck at video games, and I find this game not to be that challenging. Half Genie Hero. Like, we're talking about Mega Man. In the first Mega Man, I could only beat Cutman's level, period.
Oh, damn.
So, I suck at Mega Man games. Action games that require that sort of, like, precision, no.
To be fair, Mega Man 1 sucks.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's just a whole slew of NES games that I only beat one level in. Like, Mega Man, okay, Air Fortress, Iron Sword, one-level games. I really appreciate this game for, like, being so awesome and having so much love and, like, attention and, you know, mastery put into it, but also being super accessible. I should have my nephew play this. This is totally a game I'd have him play. He's like nice. 5 right now. He's been playing games already. I had, when he visited last summer, he was just picking random games off my Wii U. And I'm like, wow, I never played that game I downloaded off the eShop before, so I'm happy he's playing it.
Nice. Yeah, no, it's a very accessible game.
Would you have, like, little kids play it?
I already have. My 10-year-old nephew and my 6-year-old niece have both tried it, and they both say it's a fun game.
Nice. I don't really have any little kids in my life, so no. But if I did, yes.
Give it to little
Find
Timmy on the corner.
Experiment on.
Yeah, exactly.
Was there anything in the games that you guys would like to have seen or were slightly disappointed that something may have been excluded or
voice acting? Not,
voice acting, yeah?
Yeah, I wanted voice acting real bad.
That was one of
the... For Half-Genie Hero, that was a stretch goal that didn't make.
There was also full animated cutscenes. They had, like,
a couple voice clips, but not for everything.
Right. For me, Chantel say, like, risky boots, and that's it.
Yeah. For me, something that I miss, particularly from the original game, like, the original Game Boy Color game had... whenever you were doing a dance transformation, it would have, like, a little rhythm game built in, and you'd have to do the dance moves in time with the beat. Otherwise, you'd fail the dance, and...
I missed that, too.
I mean, granted, it was an extra layer of complication to be able to just, say, transform into a monkey, but by the end of the game, you were so good at just following the beat, and it's something that I wish they would reintroduce into the series, even if it's just as a minigame or something like that.
Also, yeah, it was nice that it was a little bit skill-based.
Yeah. Also,
I seem to recall that early in the Kickstarter, they said they were going to bring it back.
Oh, man.
I think they said you'll be able to customize the dances to do your own transfer, you know, make each transformation your own dance.
That would have been cool.
Sort of like Ocarina it or something?
Yeah, yeah, a little bit like that, yeah.
I guess that didn't make it.
And considering in the last, or at least the first two games in the series, she had at least four different, visually different dance moves that she would do on the screen, right. I was really hoping that they would introduce those into the game as well, and that, like, even though you're just cycling through the different options of which animal you want to transform into, I was hoping she would change up between the dances, kind of like what she did in Risky's Revenge.
Yeah, me too.
But that said, the dance that she does do, even though it's just the one move, it is adorable, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah, that's true. I wish they'd... I know she has an idle animation in Half-Genie Hero. She's just bit-bopping along, but I really wish they'd get back to... They didn't have it in Pirate's Curse either, where she did kind of a funny little thing if you sat there for 30 seconds and didn't move her. She'd do something funny. Even in the Game Boy Color game.
I love those.
I'm going to play that again. I never noticed it in Shantae, maybe because I was just moving all the time, but yeah, that's something that especially games in the 90s were huge on, and wow.
Those are great touches whenever those are in there. I mean, I remember having just sitting with friends for like 20 minutes until Mario goes to sleep. So, anytime idle animations have like Easter eggs hidden in them, or like just Easter eggs in general, like clicking on a unit a lot in a StarCraft or Warcraft game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those touches are great. And I think, yeah, I'll take more of those any day.
Yeah.
I feel like, I mean, I don't want to complain about the game, especially because I was like rushing to finish it before we got to talk about it. but now I'm thinking about it and I'm like, man, that, I want to collect more things, you know? I just want more of the game.
I really wish they had have reached the stretch goals for those last two levels.
I think once they get, if they can get these additional modes in, it'll be great because then it'll be more like a whole series of shorter couple hour or less than 10 hour run throughs you could do. And then each one is unique and different. So I feel like that would really scratch my itch.
Yeah,
absolutely. I was just thinking of something that I wish was in there, but now I don't remember. Shoot. It's probably in my little article I put up that I wish was in there. I really love the boss designs and the boss fights in Half-Genie Hero. They're spectacular. Huge screen-filling bosses.
Yes, great bosses. And I think you mentioned the writing before, but I just love Squid Baron in this game.
Oh, his reintroduction
to
the game.
I love his, all of a sudden he appears and he's not what you expect.
Yeah.
So gung-ho about it.
Right. Squid Baron's really funny in Pirate's Curse. That's like prime Squid Baron.
Mm.
So what is it? So how can we describe Squid Baron to people who have not met Squid Baron?
He's a big fat octopus. Or she? Is it a she? I think it's implied it's a she in Pirate's Curse.
It has children, but I'm not sure.
but she's this cutesy, you know, anime style, round, cuddly, drawn octopus. It's like very approachable, giant. No, not giant. You know,
bigger than
but
Shantae.
Also absolutely obsessed with the mechanics of video game bosses in general. And striving to be one of the formidable bosses in that goes down in video game history, I suppose.
Yes.
And there's constant
the boss
jokes.
Gets as close to breaking the fourth wall, I guess.
Oh yeah. There's in fact, I think in Pirate's Curse, she's something like, "Oh, I'm a mid boss now," and then you kind of beat her the first time, and she's like, Super Squid Baron, and she gets armor. It's funny.
Yeah.
Oh god, I want them to be released. Okay, I will. I want them to be released these games on the Switch. Just do a whole collection.
I'd like to see Pirate's Curse done in the Half Genie Hero Engine, because Pirate's Curse is far and away my favorite Shantae game.
It's true that Nick, after talking to you guys, I want to play all the games again, even though I've beaten them. And I don't usually go back to play games I've beaten. But yeah, it's fun and...
It's probably a solid weekend. Having experienced it before, you can probably get through them all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame that they didn't manage to meet their animated cutscenes reward tier as well.
Oh, yeah.
They're not just the intro, but additional games and everything like that.
So what are the? So let's go back to that Kickstarter. Do you have it up? Like, what are some of the things they didn't hit? Like, they raised a good chunk of money.
They met most of their goals.
I've got a list here. It's not mentioned on the Kickstarter page itself that the Roddy and the Sky and Bolo modes were not met, but then. I believe they announced that shortly afterwards that they'll probably consider doing them, and then they've essentially confirmed it in the most recent update.
They got more money on not Patreon, but something GoFundMe or whatever they were doing.
Okay.
You mean when you can like? Did they have a PayPal set up?
Yeah, they had a PayPal afterwards.
Yeah.
Mm.
They kept collecting money for like a month afterwards after the Kickstarter ended.
Yeah. There was going to be full voice acting, there was going to be animated cutscenes, as we've already discussed. There were going to be two additional levels, one called A Dish Served Cold, where Uncle Mimic set up some sort of satellite dish to collect wayward magic, and somehow it goes wrong and reforms Nega Shantae from the Risky's Revenge.
Right.
Which would have been cool, but Nega Shantae is touched upon in the Half-Genie Hero storyline anyway. So it's clear that's where that part of the story would have been slotted in. And the other one was going to be A Clockwork Knight, where they were collecting all the trash from around Sequinland from dismantling the mechanized Scuttletown in Pirate's Curse. And they sent it off into space where it formed a second moon. And It had a story revolving around Risky taking over the moon as like some sort of space battalion.
Nice. That would have been funny.
God.
Those
amazing.
Two would have included additional transformation sequences, different animals as well, which would have been really good.
Yeah.
Maybe,
that
maybe
would almost have
they,
to be a whole different game.
They maybe they'll put it in Shantae 5, 6.
They had a stretch goal for animated cutscenes?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the last year.
God, I was talking about this in the last connectivity episode where we were talking about maybe they need a Kid Icarus or something thing, and they just need to go out there and get Netflix money. WayForward needs to go out there and get Netflix money and get a Shantae animated
series. I'd watch it.
Me too.
Oh my God, this would be amazing.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, they met most of their stretch goals. I'm pretty happy with how it's going, and they update people very regularly about what they're doing. They're working on the risky stuff now, but they're also going to, I don't remember if they said they're going to put out the, like, alternate colors and the Tinkerbat transformation with the risky stuff or before.
I think they said the next update's going to be the Tinkerbat transformation. And oh, okay, then they're going to drop the, like, the 1.1 with risky mode.
Oh, okay. Nice. I want that coin, man.
Me too.
Yeah, like I said, WayForward's been around for a long time. They've been making these games for a while. The fact that they made Shantae way back in, like, the 90s, and then 10 years later they came back to her, and then they've been making games since. It shows that, I think, that they like this. They like this. They like Shantae as a franchise, and I'm happy when a developer actually likes it that much, because it just makes it so much easier for me as a fan to say, yeah, I'm going to, you're not just asking for me to be excited about it, because their skin is in it too. Like, I got the sense that, like, they were definitely making, I don't know, it's weird, but I got the sense that maybe Shantae was a project they were making in between other stuff that they were doing to pay the bills.
Oh, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true.
Like, it feels a little like that. It's like, oh yeah, like, I can see, like, maybe if they had way more time, they would make way more game, but this is, like, the size of the game you can make as you're trying to, like, make other games.
Yeah, I remember they kept delaying Pirate's Curse. I think it got delayed 2 or 3 times, and in the end, it ended up taking, like, 3 years to develop, and it shows. I mean, that game is really polished. and I remember somewhere around that time, there was a interview with Matt Bozon, and he said that Shantae is kind of their flagship character, and she's a real focus for the company now.
Yeah.
I should mention, Carmine, I don't know if you know this, but me and Andrew met Matt Bozon and Voldy Way at E3 in, like, 2012?
2012.
Yeah.
It was
magical.
It was an experience.
Yeah.
Definitely.
He drew me a little Shantae picture.
I remember he was trying to add us on the 3DS friend codes thing, the nearby friends list thing, and it wouldn't work, and I was crestfallen.
I could have met them. I actually, out of college, I applied for WayForward.
What?
Really?
I would have had to move down to, I would have had, and I ended up going somewhere else, but they were cool about it. I ended up taking a job offer somewhere else before, I got back to them. But, before I, like, did all the application process, because it was like a multi-step process, and I didn't go on further. But, I would have had to move down to, SoCal, and I don't think I think I'm still up here in the Bay Area, so that never happened. But that's as close as I got to Shantae fame.
Wow, closer than us. That's pretty good. Yeah.
No, you met the people. I just emailed them.
I don't know my California. I thought the Bay Area was Southern California.
Oh, when you're thinking of, like, sunny skies and beautiful beaches, that's not the Bay. I mean, there's beaches up here, but, like, north, the Bay Area has very temperate climate. It's not the palm tree, hot.
Is it north of LA?
Hollywood climate. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you can tell who the tourists are when they visit, because they're in shorts. they're thinking, oh, we're gonna go to California.
But let me tell you,
ocean weather.
Let me tell you, even in winter in California, I'm sure it's hot for me.
Okay. Yeah.
Probably not Andrew though.
Yeah. It's still the tail end of summer here, and I actually had to turn off my fan to do the recording, so it's getting a bit hot.
Okay.
There was that just reminds me, sorry, there was one newscast that me and Alex and Donald were doing, and Neil, and we do it with Google Hangouts so we can all see each other. And it was the middle of summer, and Alex didn't have his fan on because we were recording, and you could just watch over the course of an hour Alex melt. It was the funniest thing you've ever seen.
Okay, so in the interest of keeping Andrew from melting, let's wrap this up. Any last thoughts, guys?
If you haven't yet played a Shantae game, it's never too late to start. It's an amazing series. You really need to get into it, especially if you love classic games, if you love anime, if you like empowering women characters.
True. I would say start with Half Genie Hero, because I think, like Carmine said, it's the most approachable game. But then if you really enjoy it, Pirate's Curse would be my next recommendation, because I think that is the most game you're going to get in the Shantae series right now. And it also really dials up the cheesecake factor, which I was saying, disappointed that Half Genie Hero really dials it back, but that's only because Half Genie Hero really dials it up. Especially the 3D effect. If you're going to play it on 3DS.
And if you're going to start with Shantae, Half Genie Hero, just one last reminder, we've got codes to give out, 2 for North America, 2 for the EU region. Just send an email to contest@nintendoworldreport.com. Say which region you're in, and name 5 characters from the Shantae games. So do a little bit of homework. It could be yours. We'll use a randomizer to choose, and winners will be chosen when the next connectivity episode after hours goes up. So we are in episode 220. You have until 221 comes out. Happy hunting.
Yes. Okay.
Good luck.
So I guess that's it for us. Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, thanks for hosting this, Carmine.
See ya.
Bye. See ya.